The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We'd like to invite the children forward for a message.
Good morning, everybody. How is everybody this morning? Wow, here comes some more. Yeah, I know. It's a big one, isn't it? Well, this morning, I brought something up here with me that I wanted to show you. Does everybody know what this is? All right. How many of you have backpacks? Raise your hands. Okay, and even if you don't have one, I bet your older brothers and sisters have them, don't they? So what do you carry in this backpack? Yeah? What do you carry? School supplies and climbing supplies. What else? Snacks, yeah. How about you? What do you carry?
Camping?
Okay, yeah. Sometimes, what else? Anything else different? Yeah. What do you carry? Your clothes, yeah. And one other thing, what do you carry? Hiking. Okay, so sometimes we carry backpacks to school, right? And sometimes when we go hiking, right? When we go hiking, we have to take things like, what do you take hiking with us? Yeah, water. What other things? Other things when we hike. Snacks, too. Sometimes, maybe, if you like to read while you're hiking, right? Yeah, maybe. Well, here's a picture of a hiker. He's got skinny legs, doesn't he? Or she, I don't know. You can't really tell, but he big backpack, right? What's on top of the backpack? Right, yeah, actually, I think it's a sleeping pad that goes underneath the sleeping bag, right? So that you can be a little more comfortable on the ground, right? Yeah, okay, maybe a tent you could carry that way, too. So when we're hiking or when we go to school, we need them. But you know what? There's some people that they have to put everything they own and carry it with them because they don't have a place to call home. Can you imagine that? Could you put everything that you own into this backpack? What do you think? No. Yeah, right. If you're homeless, you don't have a place to call home. Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. You have a bag with you so you can give it to someone? Yeah, that's a really good idea. But, you know, if you had to put everything in here, that would be hard, wouldn't it? And some people have to try to figure out that how they're going to carry everything with them, like a sleeping bag and things like that. Can someone help me see what's in this bag? All right, you want to come up? Let's see what's in here. Maybe there's something that we could use when we're hiking. Can you unzip that for me? There we go. Okay, what's in there? Let me pull it out. What is that? Hold it up and say what it is. It's a hat. Okay, what else? Can you pull something out? Pull something out. What's in there? What's that?
Gloves.
Yeah, gloves, mittens. They're pretty warm, aren't they? Okay, one more thing. Who wants to pull something out of the bottom there? Okay, yep, what's that?
Socks.
What else is in there? Oh, a scarf. I think that's all on that side. You know what? But there's another zipper there. What's in there? Here, on the other side. Right here. What's in here? Yeah, there's a zipper there. I don't think there's anything in there. All right, pull that one open. What's in there in the very front? Pull that out. A blanket. Okay, I think that's all I have in this backpack. So what do you think? Are those things that you could use if you were having to sleep outside?
Yeah.
That would be something to keep you warm, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I lost one of my short gloves at my
school. You lost your glove.
Uh-oh,
have to get some new gloves, right?
Then she can try this one.
Okay, yeah, you can try these on, okay. Okay, so you know what? We're having a Mission to Hope walk on December the 8th, and you and your families are invited to walk. In fact, we have a middle school team that's walking too. And you can also bring donations like this, like gloves and hats and scarves and things like that, and put them in the donation bin out in the narthex. Okay? And then we'll help people that don't have a home to have something to take with them and stay warm in the wintertime. Okay? Can you do that? Help me out with that? All right, let's say a prayer together. All right, you ready? Let's bow our heads and say a little prayer.
Dear God,
thank you for giving us warm homes and warm clothes.
Help us to follow your commandment.
To share warm clothes and food
with our neighbors in need.
Amen. All right. Thank you all.
Hi, son. I'm starting with you. You all right with that? My son, John, and I have some different perspectives on a few things. Do you agree with that? He's only 15, though, so I have, like, he doesn't want me to talk to him during a sermon. That's one. he's pretty young, though, so I think I have some time to bring him around to my ways. But one thing that I really like is surprises, and John really does not like surprises. He's actually quite difficult to surprise and will go out of his way. Like, if it's his birthday, he'll say, "Hey, Mom, you know what would be fun? What? Let's play 20 questions so I can guess my gift." Because he knows I'm not very good at hints. I'll give it away pretty quickly. Or he'll send us exactly what he wants, you know, with a link and don't deviate from this item. And another thing that's similar to that is our different perspectives on magic. When John saw his first magic show, I like magic. I like the ability to just be kind of lost in the illusion and distraction. But John liked magic because he was going to figure out how to do it. They weren't going to trick him. He was going to figure out what that illusion or distraction was. And he would, once he did, he would summon us to the living room to watch the show because he enjoyed creating that space for others. Now, I don't really need to know how it's done, and I can be pretty gullible, and will never figure out what the sleight of hand is or what's being used to distract me from seeing the truth. In the cases of surprises and magic, distraction can be a gift and a blessing, a way of letting go and being in the moment. Now, there's other types of distractions that aren't so helpful, right? Jesus' words today might be some of those. They have the potential to be distracting and to veer us off in this other direction where we may have trouble finding our way back to what the core and the heart and the intention of his words are. The gospel text today sounds like prophecy. It sounds like a prediction for disaster. The world is ending at any moment, and you need to be ready. Our minds, when we hear that, can take off at the speed of light to our own newspapers, the situation of our own government or those across the world, natural disasters, genocides, and wars. We look to the devastating fires in California, the executions of different religious groups, the exit of Britain from a union, elections, campaigns, and wars over race and faith. And in the light of this text, we think perhaps all of these things are signs. The end is near. The world is about to turn in a way that we are not so sure we want it to turn. It feels like those stones that Jesus talks about falling away, those are starting to flip or move. It can feel like, is nothing sacred or permanent or lasting? Change swoops in and our grounding and foundation seems to fall. Now, this doesn't only happen in the big picture of the world. It happens in small ways as well. We can get distracted by our work, laundry, a rumor about what someone may or may not have said, our bank account, the weather, a change in a place we love, an argument or miscommunication, or just the loss of something being the way it was or the way we want it to be. We can get so caught up in fact that we aren't just sort of momentarily distracted or inconvenienced, but we are instead headed down a road of fear or anger or sadness or self-righteousness. And then it really starts to feel like those stones are overturning and then they're in our way and we can't get around them. A few years ago, some of you may remember when we read this text, we removed the altar from the sanctuary, actually for the whole season of Advent, as a way to show that what we can see as permanent, in fact, is not what is lasting. This is what it was like for those who were living and worshiping and following Jesus at the time the book of Mark was written. This text is not a prophecy. It's a story of a people and their experience. The temple had already been destroyed. Those stones were gone. The rabbis and religious leaders had been killed or sent out to exile. The beauty of their place of worship, their place of trade, their place of gathering, the very place they called the home of God was gone. The stones of their foundation had fallen, turned over, and that was all their eyes could see. And the people were there in a time and a place where their grounding was very shaken, and they began to stumble over all those stones that were laying around. It can be very difficult to find your way back from this kind of distraction. So like an altar being removed or an experience of not knowing where to see God, we here are called to turn our gaze again and again and not look for lasting permanence in anything other than the promises of God. Jesus here says, "Do not be alarmed." Don't be distracted. Don't get disillusioned by the other messages of the world. These things that are gone, they are not the stones on which your life or your faith is built. Through me, God is here and will continue to be here. While all these things are as painful as the beginnings of birth, new life will come. The temple may be gone, you may be in exile and scattered and full of fear, but God goes with you because God doesn't live in one place, in one temple or stone or altar or song or way of worshiping or prayer, not even in one sermon. God's promise is limitless and will not be broken. See, these words were not doom and gloom to those who were gathered in the aftermath of war. They are words of hope, promise that new life is coming and springing up. I brought with me my sad little lime tree. It got neglected a bit by me, totally my fault, in the fall. And I was like, might as well throw it out. But my husband said, no, there's a little... He knows all about science and things, so he's like, there's a little bit of green here, so let's put it in the sun and give it some more water, and you can see it has started to spring back to life. I bring this just as another point of reference that even those things that begin to die or fade away, bring forth new springs of life. So it is with God, too. Jesus, in this storytelling, is asking us to know that the happenings and the turnings of the world, both the good and the bad, are real, but they're not all the way true. Even as we may find ourselves in a strange land or on shaky ground, it is true that even as the temple was not the heart of God's work or being with the people, neither are the foundations that we create for ourselves. God went to be with the people in exile, and God promises to come and be with us in ours. Living as people of faith is an act of bravery and daring in today's world, just as it was then. Jesus turns us back towards God, a God who has never and will never turn away from us. So our hope rests in this unchanging love of God and the permanence of this grace in the world. As our memory verse this month has guided us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can turn our eyes again and again to the promise of new life. For all the places of pain and brokenness in our world where we walk together, and that is where we will find our way back and see the kingdom of God. Amen.